Are you excited to be in church this morning? If you are, give the Lord a shout. Shout glory. Praise God. Again, it's my honor to be here. Thank you, Mama. It's simply a delight to be here, to see you, and to obviously receive blessings from every word that proceeds from your mouth. It's literally an encounter. When you find patriarchs that have walked the corridors of the kingdom for decades, standing faithful and bearing the torch, then you know that you have seen people that have been helped of God. Paul said, having received the help of God, I've continued unto this day. You can easily flow in the gift of the Spirit, either through an encounter, through an impartation, but it takes the literal help of God to continue in the path of righteousness for decades. And so we honor patriarchs that have labored, standing in the gates, because we know whatever it is we are doing today, we are a product of their intercession. And so today I'm honored to be here. Thank you, Ma. Truly a great honor. I'll just share with us briefly. The timer is already about to go. If you are expectant, can you just lift your hands to heaven and talk to the Lord one more time? Just tell him you are willing to receive a word. Just a word can change your story. Ask him for a word. From the depth of your heart, cry to the Lord. We are in a treacherous time. The souls of men are being bargained on the corridors of iniquity, immorality, all kinds of wickedness and decadence. It's a time where we need encounters with God. It's not the God you hear about, the one you know. It's a day that do know their God. They shall be strong and they shall do exploit. Ask him for a word this morning. Thank you, Father. And so again, Father, we ask that you minister to us by your Spirit, and let everyone receive a tangible encounter with the word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I've preached and prayed quite extensively, so sometimes I want to sing a song, but the voice is not there. Sometimes when I start singing, my wife will just start. She's encouraging me. I just know that this is just encouragement. Hear our cry. We are your children. Can a choir person help me? It's by Domwen. We've got it here. Thank you. Can one person just help me sing the song? Lord, we need your mercy. We need your grace today. Hear us as today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, hear us from heaven. Forgive our sins, we pray. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, we give you glory. We honor you, Lord. Have your way in our lives. May our lives continually give you glory. cause us to be a shining light to our generation. Cause us to show your ways and your kingdom to a dying generation. That by all means there will be restoration. In the name of Jesus. Galatians chapter 1 verse 4. I just want to explain a few scriptures before we proceed. Paul the apostle began to expound the word of the Lord. You know, one thing about the apostolic office is a grace to help the body of Christ come into higher paradigms in the spirit. Break grounds and create a shift and then establish. And so when Paul began to teach the church in Galatia, he wanted to open their understanding to things that were ancient, things that were before time. Paul wanted them to understand that the sequence of things and events that happens in life are not mere coincidences. Everything that happens to you and around you is a deliberate orchestration from the spirit realm. That spirits are captains of civilizations. What you call your culture, your traditions, ideologies, and philosophies are not a product of human intelligence. They were crystallized from the realm of the spirit. And so when Paul began to mentor the church in Galatia, it was important for him to delve into deeper archives to explain to them the dimensions, the depths of the things that happened around them. And so he invoked the Christos and began to let them understand that this being called the Christ, he came into this world to carry out a transaction. And the depths of that transaction is not primarily about the things that happen around them. It was about their soul. And it was about their final destination after time. And so he spoke about Christ, that he died for our sins. The reason is because our sins are not necessarily the problem, but our sins truncated us from a fellowship that existed in the divine. Because before God began creation, he dwelt in himself. You know, if you wanted to imagine for a second where God was, you will blank out. Because your mind, as intelligent as you think it is not captured, it's not built to be able to think what was before time. So wherever it is that God was, there was a fellowship that was going on between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It was a koinonia, and it was from the depths of that koinonia that creation was crystallized. So creation itself was designed to satisfy a love that existed before time. Because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit were living for aeons that time itself cannot be captured, because even time was created. So for how long that was, we don't know. But when this love began to grow, at some point, he couldn't contain himself. So he decided to exhale creation. So creation is an offspring of the koinonia that existed in the fellowship of the divine. And you see, when he created at first, he created the spirit realm. And so in that realm, there were princes. There were dominions. In the Greek, they called them kurios, because they all of them have thrones. Because when a king creates, he can only create a king. So he created entities that were rulers in their right to come into that partnership and that fellowship. But one of the kurios that he created decided to rebel against him. And the obsession that God had to express love could not be quenched. So that same God went back to the studios of eternity. And that communion continued, and he said, "Let us make man. Let us make man in our own image and in our likeness." The reason is because only those who exist in our class can fellowship with us. But on the strength of that creation, man had access to God. So the goal of man in existence is not bread and wine.
is to look upon him that dwells in the midst of light. And every time he looks at him, he glows like God. The glory of the cherubims that were created at first was external. So when you see a Michael, he's a symbol of strength. When you see a Gabriel, he's a representation of wisdom. When you see Lucifer, before he fell, he was like the brightness of the sun. But this time around, he wanted to preserve that koinonia. So he didn't put the glory externally. He hid him inside. So that the glory will not make him sway again. So every time that man looks upon God, something beams out of his inside. And so the Bible said in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden. Meanwhile, Adam did not know what it cost God to come into the garden. Because the same God that came looking for Adam in the garden is sitting on a throne in heaven where 20 and 4 elders are bowing down. Holy, holy. So what he did was that he removed the garment of glory. He hung it on the throne and he escaped from heaven. And he came looking for man. Because the man was the obsession of God. He wanted intimacy. So he left heaven. They saw thunder and lightning, but the voice had gone. And when he came into the garden, Adam, where art thou? I need fellowship. I need koinonia. There is something on my inside that existed before creation. I put it on you so that you can fraternize with me. But when the man fell, sin became a hindrance. So what Paul was telling them in Galatians 1:4 was not just a casual transaction. Paul was telling them there was a purpose in the heart of Abba that necessitated creation, but sin have come to truncate it. So what God did was that God died. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Because God wanted to restore fellowship with man, God descended. And God, an immortal being, became mortal. So that God would be able to die. You know, it's impossible for God to die. So he had to remove immortality and clothe himself with mortality. All of that was a product of an obsession. He was looking for an intimate. He wanted intimacy with man. So God could remove the garments of glory. He wore mortality. And he showed up. And he died like a criminal. So when he hung on the cross, what Paul was teaching the church in Galatia was that God desires intimacy. I want to draw you deeper. I want to suck you into my realm. Because that was why I created you in the first place. I hid you in the garden. There were many angels and cherubims in heaven. But I hid you in the garden so I could come there and have fellowship with you alone. Because this is a private matter. But the man did not understand the burdens in the heart of God. There was a burden in the heart of Abba. That was why he created man. You were not created to succeed. But when you walk with God, succeeding will be a byproduct because gods don't fail. Man was actually taught to fail. Because when he created him, he just threw him in the garden. The man saw the lion and said, "You are lion." And when God came, God checked the archive of heaven and said the name that he named the animal was the name there was. He looked at the woman. God caused the man to sleep and he slept. And God came, took his rib, created woman. When he woke up, he said, "You shall be called woman because you were taken out of man." You can't fail. You were created to win. But the fall truncated the possibilities of God that was on your inside. So when Jesus died, Paul was teaching the church that it was a protocol to restore glory, to bring glory back to man so that the man will walk in corridors eternal and interact with a God that was unseen. There's something hid on his inside that his world need to see. That was why Jesus had to die, to suck him back into the communion and the commune that existed between Abba. And God did not stop there. The moment he won the man, he now gave him the responsibility to win others. So when we go out for soul winning, we are actually playing the role of God. As you begin to journey on that path, you begin to learn what it looks like to be a God. Because you were created to function like that. You know, it will take the whole of eternity for God to teach you how to be like him. So what God did was that he gave you some of his responsibilities. So as you begin to carry them out, you begin to learn the ways of God. You know, when a woman wants to teach her daughter, she doesn't say everything with words. There are some things she brings her into the kitchen and gets her to do so that she becomes a woman. Because a time will come when the same lady will also be a mother in her home. So God taught us how to also win a war that is dying. But Paul still went a bit deeper. He said, this economy is not just to save you. He said, there's an evil prince that is also in this world that will fight against what God wants to achieve. So Jesus did not just die for your sins. He said he died to deliver you from this evil world. Because what this evil world wants to do is that he wants to feed your heart with lust. So instead of doing that which is eternal, that makes you behave and live like a god, you begin to pursue things. A god begins to pursue things. He said, oh, my salary is my life. Ah, it's a fallen nature. It means there's a vacuum in your soul that have not been filled. What this prince wants to do is to darken your understanding. So when the things of God appear, it becomes foolishness to you. And so in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3, say, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world have blinded their heart. So man begins to live and pursue lust and pleasure. And in John chapter 8 verse 44, he says, you have become of another spirit. You were of God, but now you are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father shall he do. So when they summon you to the place of prayer now, you can't stand. Because you didn't know that your preoccupation is to behold him that dwells in light. You didn't know that your preoccupation is to do the things that he does. Because he created you as an extension of his reality. But there is another prince. So when you find people who cannot do spiritual realities, legislations and engagement, there is a lust in their spirit. It means another king has mentored them. And so God summons a generation back that he may teach them his ways and empower them to go out and colonize the world. I shared with them in the morning. I told them that we are wearing suits and tie, not because we love it. We are colonized. So when you sit, as we are sitting now, for example, we look British. Not because we are of British origin. We were colonized. And right now, you can even derive your self-esteem from the way you dress. When you wear a suit, you are confident. Because you are acting British. That's the power of colonization. And that's what God wants to do with you. Now that you have been sucked into him, he teaches you his ways and he sends you back. That when you go to your office is not what sustains you. Your office is a platform for manifesting what you carry. Your job is not your life. It's a platform. Your school is not where your life will be defined from. You are bigger than a certificate. But when you go to school, you have a platform to mentor a world after the order of righteousness, the life of a God that dwells in the spirit. Take no pride in where you walk. It's only a platform. That you are working in the presidency does not make you better than the man working in the market. You are just in different departments in the agenda of the divine. The prince of this world will darken our understanding. And when we go to the places where we should represent God, that's where our soul is threaded. And so the guy is working in an oil industry. And then he compromises on a deal because he thinks he came there for money. But he came there to reveal God he never knew. The guy is working in politics. And because he wants to win favor with his boss, he compromises and lies to his constituency. He betrays a generation. Because he doesn't know that he came there to manifest God. A boy goes to the campus and then he thinks he came there to make girlfriends, not knowing that he's an epistle for a generation. That men will look upon him and read the ways of God. They should look at you and understand favor, because favor is not a doctrine, it's a manifestation, and men bear them on their shoulders. When we see you, we should understand what mercy is. What is mercy? They say, look at this sister. You can see her life. She's an epistle. When they want to understand righteousness, they will call upon your name, because righteousness blazes out of you like fire. And it's on the strength of that that God sends you to the military. So that the military may not look at God in the clouds of heaven. But when they see you, they have seen God. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I am the follower of Christ. A generation must be mentored to return to the things that matter. Because life does not end in time. A day will come when this realm will be rolled away like a curtain. And all of us will stand before a throne. And then we'll be judged. You know what Paul was sharing with the church? They were deep matters. Because he wanted them to understand that God is not just here to satisfy their needs. That God also has a need. And one of the needs of God is intimacy. The same way he came for Adam in the garden. Where are thou? He's still coming. Some of us at night, 1 a.m., that's when he comes. But because we don't know, we say we are tired. That time you want to pray your religious prayer in the morning, he may no longer be around. You are at the office. He comes and says, matter, matter. He is seeking intimacy. And then you say, I'm busy, I'm busy. Oh my God, our senses are dwarfed. But when you know how God works, even while you are reading, you'll be talking to God. Even while you are in the market, you'll be talking to God. Because it's your first obsession. You have known the ways of the Spirit. And when you become like that, you cannot but colonize your world. You can enter an office, check later, 3 months' time, everybody there will be speaking in tongues. Because an ambassador was sent there, not somebody looking for a job. Those who don't have a God can survive by a salary. But the man who has a God, he doesn't need salary to survive. If you see him in a place, he came there to colonize it. These things I'm sharing, sometimes we share them in a small Bible school. I'm saying some things that I may not have time to balance. So let me stop. Let's read the scripture. Deuteronomy. Mama. I'm sorry. Deuteronomy 32 verse 9. Let me just read some scriptures. I'm pouring burdens. He said, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. So what God is looking for in the bargain is you. You are his portion. And every time God gains in this economy, he gains men. And so having gained you, he wants to send you out through you to gain others. That's how he gains on this investment. But when your life does not produce others, when your life does not bring gain to God by reason of men coming to him, it means you came into the kingdom, but you didn't advance in the kingdom. Because like I told them in the morning, there are cadres in this kingdom. The first cadre in this kingdom is the cadre of a child. A child is a being with needs. And that being is conscious only of his needs. So when you give biscuit to a child and you say, give me, he will say no. Because he's only interested in itself. Self is what rules the realm of a child. And so when our Christianity is self-centered, it's about self-preservation, self-exaltation, self-aggrandizement. There's nothing wrong with it. God is predisposed to bless. His name is called El Shaddai. He has more than enough. He can't keep. His love makes him to want to give. And there are many people that need legitimately, including the man talking to you. And I assure you, every day we receive from God. That's why we are able to do what we are doing. But when we receive from God, there's a level we also come to and we ask God, what do you want? At that level, you are not just dealing with a father. You are now dealing with a king that has a kingdom. So you want to play your part. And one of the things God will ever want is what this scripture is telling us. The Lord's portion is his people. And the glory of the king is in the multitude of the people. So what God is looking for is more men. Because he doesn't want any soul to perish. And now that he has you, you are his extension to the sinner. How come you meet the sinner in the office every day and you've done nothing about it? How come you met your neighbor every day and you did nothing about it? Rather, we condescend to the level of men and then we are keeping malice. We are fighting, we are backbiting because we think we are mere men. We don't know that we are there because God needs a voice there. And if we know God needs a voice there, the kingdom itself will bring us to a point of selflessness. so that we can win some. That's why Paul said to the barbarian, I became a barbarian. That's not a child talking. That's a son. That's a man God can rely on. That's a man God can depend on. The reason we are here today is because some people brought us. You were not smart to say, I want to choose Jesus. Somebody spoke to you about Christ. How come you have been in the kingdom for 5 years and nobody is sitting here because of you? You came to church. Church was full. You say, I love my church. My church is excellent. Every Sunday we are full. You don't know that we are full because some people are laboring. So what God is looking for is intimacy. And so every man that brings God an intimate is a man that causes God to delight. And that's why I say when one soul is warmed into the kingdom, he say, heaven rejoice. And when you do this, God will ensure. He said it's not unjust to forget our labor of love. The reason most of us are not taking kingdom responsibility is because we think life ends here. You see what Mama was saying? When you start growing old, the things that matter to you will change. Because you are beginning to approach eternity. And when you start approaching eternity, you will discover there's no gold there. There's no diamond. So you will find out the things you carry to eternity. I shared with them in the morning how that in Genesis 22, from verse 1 to 4, the Bible gave a narrative about Abraham. He said, God blessed him in all things. In gold, in silver, in cattle. He had all things. But when they read about Abraham again, in Hebrews chapter 11, there was no gold there. Because one was read from earth, the other one was read from heaven. And when you are reading the life of a man from heaven, earthly things can appear there. So the things that the Bible captured was that he believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Is that when God demanded Isaac, Abraham gave Isaac. When you begin to read from heaven, there will be no record of those who receive from God. Those ones are earthly. The people that heaven reckons with are those who gave to God. And the magnitude and degree to which you give to God is what determines your rank in heaven. Let me read a scripture for you. In Genesis chapter 18, the Bible was talking to us how that God disguised himself as a man and he was walking through Mamre. And he said, Abraham sat at the gate. Meanwhile, that's a posture of prayer. He sat at the gate because he was legislating over the territory. And even though God disguised himself, the man knew God too well. God couldn't hide from him anymore. And he said, Sirs, please come. He said, no, we won't come. He said, please come. And he brought them and made a feast for them. When they were going, God now made a statement. He said, will I hide a thing I want to do from Abraham my servant, seeing that he will become a mighty nation and that he will command his children in my ways? So the job of Abraham is to cause men to walk in righteousness. It's a sin that Abraham causes men to walk in righteousness. How can I hide something from that man? So there are men that God becomes vulnerable with. Those are the kind of men that have decided to put self away. And they begin to live only to please that which concerns God. And one of the things that is prime in God's priorities is to turn men to righteousness. This was Abraham's predisposition to cause everybody around him to walk in righteousness. God said, because Abraham is like this, I can't hide anything. Even if I wanted to, I can't. So God told Abraham, I'm going to Sodom to destroy it. And Abraham entered his office again as an intercessor. And he began to plead with God. Let my Lord not be angry with me. You know, sometimes when we pray for long, you will discover that we are praying prayers that is bigger than give me. Those of us who carry shopping lists to God, after 10 minutes, I assure you, you'll be exhausted. But those who pray the burdens of God, the more you pray, the more you want to pray. Because you are praying from another economy. Let my Lord not be angry with me. What if you find 50 righteous men and God turned to him and say, if I find 50 righteous men, I will spare the city. And God was going again. And he said, oh, this one more time, let me speak before the God of heaven. What if you find 40 righteous men? And Abraham prayed until he reached 10. He thought Lot had learned something. He didn't know that when Lot was with him, Lot was learning how to rear cattle and cattle alone.
A thought that by all means, Lot, we have at least 10 people who are righteous. But Lot didn't learn what matters the most. You know, the reason Lot separated from Abraham is because their herdsmen were quarreling. He has mastered the business. He knows how to trade and to invest. He knows how to, what to do to win. He went to Sodom. And when darkness came, when evil came, when judgment came, it was shown that Lot knew nothing. His years of training was a waste because all he learned was how to make money. See, if you deal with God, there are three realms. The first realm of your dealing with God is the realm of receiving. The second realm of your dealing with God is the realm of the application of the principles of the kingdom. So you are not necessarily asking God, give me. You know what to do to get. That's where Lot stopped. The third realm of dealing with God is beyond asking, is beyond principles, is intimacy. That's the realm of life, to know him. And Lot didn't reach there. So Lot thought it was just about succeeding, and he mastered it. Did you read Luke chapter 12 from verse 16? The guy applied all the principles of prosperity correctly, and it's beautiful. I encourage you to know it, because in this life, everyone who is great is a better tool in the hand of God. But the problem with him is that he only applied principles. He didn't know God. And when his barn was full, he said, now will my soul rest. And God looked from heaven and said, you fool. That means the definition of a fool is not necessarily a nonentity. It's a man that lives without God. The Bible says a fool says in his heart, there's no God. He had applied the principle, but he had no relationship with God. And he said, you fool. That was the realm Lot was walking in. He was about cattle and sheep, and he gathered them everywhere. But when he went to a city, he didn't know that there is an interaction you have with God in order to keep a city. Abraham kept Bethel, but Lot could not keep Sodom and Gomorrah. And the day Sodom was to be destroyed, Lot had not raised 10 righteous men. He had 1,000 cattle. Do you see why? Many times, death just comes into a family and picks somebody. And then we come say, God, why? What do you mean, God, why? If there are no gatekeepers, darkness will come. He said, there is an evil day. When that evil day comes, it's not because God is not strong. It's because your strength is little. Because there's a realm you get to that God waits upon you. He is looking for salts of the earth and the lights of the world. Only those who can labor in the spirit can get there. Most of the questions we ask God are the questions he's asking us. The problem is that we are deaf. God, why? When you were supposed to keep the gates, you are pursuing things. And the prince of darkness comes with wickedness. And you are thinking God will show up all of a sudden. He's not an ATM machine. He's a being. And so God entered Sodom. There were no 10 righteous men. Then what are you doing in Sodom? You have been in Sodom for many years. What are you doing? Meanwhile, Abraham, who was keeping the altar, was growing bigger and bigger. Because promotion does not come from the east. It does not come from the north, the south, nor the west. It cometh from the Lord. The strategy you need to excel in your job is a wisdom that comes from God. The favor you need is a wisdom that comes from God. In addition to all you do, there must be a realm of intimacy. That was what Abraham knew. And the day God was passing, Abraham was at the gate. He said he was in Mamre. He was praying. And it was not just about time. Because of this life that Abraham lived, in Matthew chapter 8 verse 11, God now made us understand that when men leave earth, they have thrones in heaven. He said men will come from the east and the west, and they will sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So there is a way to live your life to be relevant both in time and eternity. There are many people today who are living relevantly on earth, but they have no stake with God. He says such men, their designation in the spirit is fools. But men like Abraham, that in addition to the principles, prosperity, management, leadership, in addition to all of that, have a relationship with God. He said in the kingdom to come, these are mighty. Jesus was speaking in Revelation 2:26. He said he will give unto them nations, because it doesn't end in time. Nations will be given to men. This is where true Christianity begins. It's not just to be on earth. I tell you the truth, the mercy of God that is put on earth as a residual grace is enough to make you prosper. That's why Bill Gates doesn't need to pray to God to prosper. That's why Dangote doesn't need Jesus to prosper. If all we seek God for is what we can get, then we are joking. There are men who have never been sick until they grew old. Go to the Middle East. You see Chinese men who are 100 years old, because of exercise and good diet, they have never fallen sick. At 100, they are still walking without walking stick. You don't need God for many things, because His grace has ensured it. But there are things that you must need God for. And one of it is the labor of turning men to righteousness. These are the things we never do. The ones that without the direct input of God, we will still have, are the ones we labor for night and day. How come we've not heard the stories of eternity? How come we've not heard of the judgment of the ages to come? When Paul was speaking to Felix, he said he reasoned with him about matters of conscience and the judgment to come. Because time, a day will come, it will be rolled away like a canopy. In that day, where will you stand? What will you travel into eternity with? When God summons men to turn many to righteousness, He's showing us the path to eternal relevance. Because everything we do on earth may end, but there are things we do on the earth that will travel with us into the world to come. One of it is to turn many to righteousness. No wonder. In Daniel chapter 12 verse 3, He said, they that be wise, He said, they will shine like the brightness of the heavens. He said, and they that turn many to righteousness, not they that traded well and succeeded. Is there anything wrong with it? No. He said, my kingdom through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. We need to learn all the principles and apply it. But in addition to it, He said, they that turn many to righteousness, they shall shine like stars forever. If you crossed over to eternity today, what will you look like? I know on earth you are dazzling. On earth you are shining with diamonds. But when you cross over to eternity, are you sure there will be any star or any glare around you? God gives us the leakage this morning. It's a day that turned many to righteousness. It didn't end only with Abraham. Even in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 15 verse 26, the Bible was speaking about Paul. It said Paul and Barnabas, they were so dogged that they didn't just preach casually. He said they hazarded their lives for the gospel. They hazarded. They knew this thing to a point that even when their life was at risk, they gave themselves for it. What others hazarded their lives for, we need to be encouraged and begged. Oh, where will we stand in eternity? He said, when the road is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. It's not about the man on the altar. Jesus didn't send the apostle and prophet to preach. He sent all believers. He said to all of them, go into all the world and disciple all nations. Because the plan I have in heaven is not just for apostles and prophets. It's for every believer. How come that there are no souls attached to us? It's because we have not known how eternity works. He said, Paul and Barnabas, they didn't just believe it. He said they did it to a point where even though their life was at risk, they went forward. And when Paul came to the end of his life, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. He said, there remained for me a crown of life. How dare you determine your reward? Why other Christians are hoping, will I be saved? They are arguing in theological seminaries. Once saved, always saved. There is a man who has gone past theological argument. He is not just talking about salvation. He can tell you that he has a crown in eternity. How come you live your life as if earth is the end? How come you live your life as if a man's value is in the multitude of his possession? Have you not heard? Has it not been said to you that the everlasting God fainteth not, neither is he weary? Everything he says, his jealousy will bring it to pass. And he said, heaven and earth will pass away. In the world to come, your relevance amongst many things is how many men you turn to righteousness. How many men are in this kingdom because of you? Everything you are doing here today, part of the record goes to the man that brought you to the kingdom. How come there are no men that are in the kingdom because of you? it means we don't understand priorities. If we are being persuaded to win souls, then there is a problem. If we are being encouraged to win souls, it means there's a problem. If we win souls only when church is doing soul winning campaign, it means there's a problem. That means the signal we are receiving is wrong. Because if we were receiving the right signals, we will pick the button in the heart of God. Are you aware that many people have been praying for this government for the past 4 years? Are you aware that many people have been praying for this city for the past 10 years? Are you aware that many people have been praying for Nigeria the past 10 years? For the past 20 years? Are you aware there are many people who have been praying for Africa for the past 30 years? The same Africa that we think is all about getting a job and earning salary. Some people are fighting over the soul of Africa in the spirit. So while you are looking for a job in Africa, others are contending for Africa, that Africa is for Christ. And then you think you go to heaven, you are the same. You see, Epaphras, Colossians 4:12, is one of you. A bond servant of Christ. He said, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. There are priorities with God, and we must grow in our relationship with God until we attain those priorities. A week cannot pass and you have not won a soul into the kingdom. Are you an ambassador? He said, we are pilgrims on the face of the earth. This is not our home. We were sent here to colonize it. The people who colonized Nigeria don't need to interfere in our government anymore. They have set a protocol. Whether we like it or not, we will obey it. That's what God sent you to earth to do. So when your time is over, like Paul, you will say you have fought a good fight. Like David, he will say, when you were done serving your generation, you slept. And the things you left, many generations will run with it. At that time, you will discover that your lifespan can no longer be calculated. Because you may live on earth for 50 years, for 70 years, for 90 years. But what your life would have set in motion on earth can remain for 1,000 years. Anytime somebody comes and tries to say your age, is wrong. Because in the kingdom, you have become immortal. The books you write, people will read it for eons. The things you utter, it will remain as a witness and as a memorial for eons. How come we live our lives and our lives end the day we stop breathing? Because we don't know how the kingdom works. We don't understand the priority. Never live a life that ends with your breath. When you cross over, you left legacies. Legacies that disciple. Legacies that raises others. So that your life becomes a perpetual continuum. This is what you were sent here to do. Because God has an obsession. The obsession of God is to raise intimates. And your life will become a perpetual commitment to raising intimates to God. This is why soul winning becomes one of the cardinal responsibility of every believer. Let me show you two ways of winning souls, two protocols. So that in addition to standing in front of the mirror for 2 hours to do the foundation and mascara, in addition to gymming for 2 hours every day until you have broad chest, there is another kind of exercise. There's an exercise that may not show on your body. There is a makeup that may not show on your face, but will make you shine like the stars. There's another kind of exercise. Are you ready? Are you ready to make your life begin to really, really count where it matters? You know, one day the Lord was talking to me and he asked me of a shoe that I saved money to buy. I literally saved money. I will go hungry sometimes, save money, I will deposit. If you sell this shoe, I will kill you. If you sell this shoe. And after saving money for a long time, I bought the shoe. The first day I wore the shoe, I literally was walking on my head. I needed everybody to see the shoe. I will walk like this. And the Lord was asking me, where is that shoe? I said, which shoe is that? He said, the shoe you save money to buy. I didn't remember what it looked like. He now told me that's how life that is based on natural things ebbs away. That's how it ebbs. It has no record where it matters. Even you have forgotten it. And for some of us here, it's not a shoe, it's a car. When the car came out, you said, wow, this is the baby. And then you bought the car, you painted the town red. If they ask you, how much did you buy the car now, you forget. Where is the car? You will forget. That's how life built on material things ebbs away. There are certain dresses that the tailor didn't finish. And then you threaten I will lock you up. You call the state security service. You call the DSS. Because they sold the clothes and they missed something. The way you looked at the person, he knelt down. Where is that cloth now? It's gone. Because earth, life on earth without God is deception. And that's how many lives are ebbing away without making marks in eternity. But the people that know what matters, they say, until the time of John, there is something John did that he trapped that moment forever and ever. That moment can never end. Any day in eternity, they will call it the time of John. So what John did had trapped a moment in eternity, and it has become a memorial to his name. You remember when Jesus came to the rich man's house and Mary broke the alabaster box and poured the perfume on him? And they say, how did you waste this? He said, you are not wise. He said, this thing that she has done, wherever this gospel is preached, her name has become a memorial before God. That means this gospel I'm preaching now, God is not only hearing this gospel, he's hearing Mary. Those men, they can't die anymore. They have become immortals because they know what to do that makes it impossible for God to forget them. Their name is now inscribed in the heart of Abba, and forever and ever God will refer to them. When Israel was in Egypt dying in pain, God came down. I thought he would say, I came down because the people prayed. He said, because of my servant Abraham. The man has become a memorial. Even when Jesus came back to earth, a woman was bent over. I thought Jesus will heal her for compassion's sake. He said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham? What do you mean? That means the pain of the woman is nothing compared to the respect that you have for the name Abraham. There are things men do, they become memorials. When blind Bartimaeus was crying, Son of David, have mercy. I thought Jesus would turn and say, I have mercy on you. When he healed him, he said, even this one is the son of Abraham. What do these men do that they become immortals? Is that they turn many to righteousness. And one of the ways to turn many to righteousness is to give. I spoke about prayer in the morning. I spoke about going out. Prayer is necessary because people are in sin by reason of the powers of darkness. So we need to dislodge them on the altar. When Jesus sent them out in Luke 10:19, and they returned rejoicing, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So we dislodge the powers of darkness on the altar. You go out to win souls because you need to talk to them. But in addition to these two, another way to win souls is to give resources. Because my kingdom, Zechariah 1:17, shall be spread abroad only through prosperity. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18, thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is him that giveth thee power to get wealth, to establish his covenant which he has made with thy fathers, even unto this day. That deed he just put through because God wants you to buy a new black jeep. That business did not just pull through because God wants you to buy another land. God is interested in your earthly prosperity, but he expects you to be wise enough to commit to the kingdom, because that's one of the ways God knows if your heart is with him. He said, where a man's treasure is, he said, there his heart is. A spirit is not so moved that you lay down and wept. Tears don't appear in that realm. It's your incense that become tears there. not the one you cry here. So when you want to show a spirit that your heart is with him, he's looking for your resources. So you come to church, he's looking for your resources. Where is your resources in this thing we are talking? I don't believe it. Prove it. Because you must give towards the kingdom. But when a man doesn't have the burden of God, every time he comes to church, he's like, if we are trusting God to receive something, he's always trusting God to receive something. When will you give? There are some that they pay for their transport to come to church for 4 years now. They are still paying. Even the money they have, they can't transport themselves so that somebody else will come. They are still running to join the free bus. And that's why their life is in one position. Because the man's gift maketh room for him. And because you can't give, your place has become narrow. Because God gives bread to the eater, but seed is to the sower. You don't need seed if you're an eater. And so when kingdom agenda is discussed, God is not only looking for prayer warriors. He's not only looking for those who go to the street. He's also looking for those who give to sponsor the kingdom. A building is needed. Bibles need to be sent to a nation. Books need to be sent. Churches need to be opened. Where is your token? This is how men become relevant. There's an amount of money you will spend that will become your salvation in eternity. It may not be big, but you give it with a perfect heart. The Bible said the widow gave 2 pennies. And Jesus said she gave all. How come? Why was Jesus mindful to look at the offering box? What are you? I thought God is only interested in intercessors. Whoa. Why is Jesus not, was he not pitiful towards a widow? I thought he would say, no, oh, yeah, you don't have much. Keep it. The reason is because if you don't give, you remain small. And that's why those who are wise, they keep giving. And then you see the poor come and say, all these big people, they want to show themselves. And that's, they keep keeping what they have and tending to gossip, and they remain where they are because God hears their murmuring. But the man who is always giving and giving, he knows the return. Don't be this Facebook Christian that goes online and hear gullible people who don't understand the kingdom tell you church is taking your money. Because our Christianity has no depth. So we have people who are godless mentors. Because we live from our senses. You are in a different kingdom. The spirit that works to your advantage has given you his oracles. And part of his oracles is that you give for the advancement of his kingdom. Don't allow a godless man write careless statements on Facebook to mentor you. Your life and your future is on the line. Because that man can go back and dupe somebody. He can go back and cut corners. That man can go back and steal. You can't steal. You can't dupe. You can't cut corner. The only way you will go forward is by the invincible finger of God. So don't allow the man tell you, I didn't give offering, yet I'm a millionaire. What is he doing to become a millionaire? There are other principles he's living by. You are living by the inspiration of the oracles of God. If God doesn't move you, you can't move. So you are not in the same kingdom. In his kingdom, people steal. In his kingdom, people take bribe. In his kingdom, people can change figures and become billionaires overnight. You are not in that kingdom. And this is why he cannot advise you. Because your lives are different. Your pursuits are different. Your burdens are different. Because what you are giving is not just about time. There is a war to come. That's how kingdom go forward. When God began to teach me giving, I was in the university. Sometimes I had 100 naira for 2 weeks. And so I would take 10 naira to church. And God said, no. You can't grow like this. You can't go forward like this. Then what? God now told me to begin to give 100 naira. When I go to church, sometimes 3 times in a week, and sometimes for 2 weeks, I have only 100 naira. Even if I go by faith and give this one, where do I have the next one from? I didn't know that even ravens can bring bread. And so, because I didn't want to obey God, I will put my money in a cloth. When I want to go to church, I will take off the cloth and hang it and wear another cloth. So when I come to church, I will say, oh Lord, I'm sorry, I forgot. Oh Jesus. And God will tell me, go and bring it back. I didn't know what God was doing. I forgot, Lord. Next Sunday, I will bring it. He said, go and bring it. I will disobey and disobey. My life was becoming tighter and tighter. Because the things my friends were doing to succeed, I couldn't do it. And the Spirit who wants to teach me how to get wealth was showing me the secret. You know, he said, the secrets of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. I didn't know that men succeed by secrets. I disobeyed God for a long time. Oh, Jesus, thank God for mercy. We would have died. I didn't even know that my giving was to protect my life. It's not even about prosperity. Because it's not giving to man that walketh to order his step. You are praying for a contract. Do you know if you will read the office? You don't know that arrows fly by day. You don't know that there is an evil day. And that the devil is looking for you when you are most vulnerable. He said, but him that giveth to the Lord, he said, God will remember his offering from the sanctuary. There's a time when evil rises against you and the altar itself begins to speak for you. This one cannot die. I know giving has been bastardized. And so many people come, they say, no, I'm not giving to church. You didn't even understand it in the first place. Because you are not giving to church. You are giving to God. What you give to church can be a donation. But what they call you to give is an offering. An offering is to a spirit. The spirit uses the church as a platform. Because even the one who is the custodian is a steward of that spirit. The kingdom can't go forward. Because those God have raised as sons of consolation, they are not taught the priority of soul winning. May you not go to heaven. And like Judas, he said, you are supposed to sit with me on 12 thrones to judge 12 tribes of Israel. He said, but you have become the son of perdition. And so when Judas wanted to betray Jesus, I thought Jesus would intercede for him. But you see, it's a waste interceding for a man whose heart is corrupt. If you study the scripture, every time a man's heart is compromised, they stop praying for him. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat. He said, but I've prayed that your faith faileth not. When thou art recovered, strengthen thy brethren. The same Jesus, Judas wanted to betray him. He didn't pray for him. The Bible said, Satan entered his heart. And Jesus told him, that which you must do, do quickly. What is the difference? The heart has been compromised. An arrow was shot into his heart. When Ananias sold lands and hid it, he came to Peter. And Peter said, why have you allowed Satan entered your heart? Immediately he fell down and died. Don't continue to be stone hearted and go beyond the boundary of mercy. Today the Lord summons you. He said, I have raised you as my battle axe, as my weapon of war. He raised you for such a time as this, so that you can become his agency on the face of the earth to advance his kingdom. And when we talk giving, we are not talking to the rich. We are talking to the believers. Because it takes a heart to give, not money. Some of you may need to start from 100 naira. I started from 10 naira. You know, this thing afflicted me until I got a job. And the Lord asked me, he said, if they were paying you 1,000,000 naira, how long do you work in your country? I said, 35 years. You know, sometimes God, depending on your relationship. He said, if they paid you 1,000,000 naira for 12 months in 35 years, how much is that? I punched my calculator. It was about 420 something million. And I said, can you sponsor your destiny with 400 million? I repented. In addition to hard work, in addition to diligence, in addition to strategies, in addition to career, in addition to certificates, it is the hand of God that lifts man. He said he lifted the beggar from the dunghill and he established him among princes that he may inherit thrones. This is the kingdom where we live in. And your giving is necessary because God has an obsession. He doesn't want to see anyone perish. It's on the strength of that that he gave his only begotten son, that he may have many sons. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And when Jesus was going, he said, as the Father hath sent me, he said, so sent are you. John 20:21. And in Matthew 28:18, he said, go into all the world and disciple all nations. He said, teaching them all that you have learned from me. Prayer is one of it. Fasting is one of it. And giving is also one of it. My friend, Reverend Hughes, will teach us. And he said, they are the three whens of the Bible. He said, when thou prayest, when thou fastest, and when thou givest. Our world is so selfish. When you teach on prayer, they say, this is the real man of God. When you teach on fasting, they say, this is my pastor. But when you say giving, they say you are a fraudster. We will not stop. Because this is how the kingdom of God will advance. And whatever it is you have today, prove your loyalty to God. Because where a man's treasure is, that's where his soul is. That's where his heart is. You can begin little and trust God to grow you, but never be in that place where you do nothing. Because the kingdom depends on you. The givings you give today will become a memorial before God. Bow down and ask the Lord to help you. Some of us, there are many things God wants to do with us, but our faith can't be released. I'm not saying God will bless you because you give. That's why I began by telling you that as Father, he is predisposed to blessing you. But I'm saying if you don't give, your faith can't be released to receive the blessing of God. I'm saying if you don't give, your loyalty to God is not proven. It means the devil can still bargain with you somewhere. The devil can still bargain with you. Some of us have the strength of one man. Some of us have the strength of 1,000 men. Some of us have the strength of 10,000 men. According to your strength, make sure you give. One of Paul's ministry was to take money from one location to another location to advance the kingdom. Because it's necessity. It's necessity. And you will not leave this service until you become a giver. Meanwhile, I'm not saying it to call for a seed. I'm just teaching you the ways of God. When money comes to your hand, keep a portion for the Lord. You honor him with your tithe. You honor him with your first fruit. And you give for his kingdom. When you earn your salary, keep a portion. It's a sign that you don't depend on salary. Where you are working is a platform. And when you check at the end of the month, you'll discover that many times you spend 3 to 4 times the salary you earn. Because it's God that truly sustains you. Even at times where you had nothing, you are amazed that you still survived. Because there is an invincible finger that lifts you up. The Lord will continually uphold your hand. You will never walk in lack. And you will never walk in fear.
Amen.
God himself will become your sufficiency. As you make up your mind to obey the word of the Lord, you will discover that your life will begin to move from glory to glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Abba Father. May your name be glorified. May your name be exalted. I rounded up in the morning by telling them in the first service that you don't qualify to have a child, a natural child or a biological child, except as you first have a spiritual child. Because your spiritual life is superior to your natural life. Today, either by prayer or by literally going out to preach the gospel or by giving, ensure that you are part of those that are either fathers or mothers of the sons of God. God bless you.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just say this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website orocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.